If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome in to Monday's edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. It is a rough Monday morning, to put it lightly, after last night's heartbreaking 36-35 loss in Baltimore for the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot had to go wrong for the Chiefs to end up in the spot they eventually wound up in at the end of the game. A lot factored into that late collapse. I don't think the Chiefs are even in that spot last night if the defense had one or two true stops in that third and fourth quarter. I remember they did have one, set up the offense nicely, and that's when the Mahomes interception happened, his first interception in the month of September. The defense last night had a lot of 2018 feel to it. It was back to, I hope Baltimore scores quickly here because Kansas City needs the ball back with plenty of time to win this game. It started off on the right foot. Tyrann Mathieu, in his first game of the season, has a pick six on the opening drive. Before Baltimore can even get a first down, the Chiefs put 7 points on the board. Tyrann Mathieu then has another interception in that first quarter off Lamar Jackson on a drive that Baltimore was driving pretty well. And it all started for Baltimore with that rushing attack. If you're Kansas City, though, this is the problem. We knew going in that Baltimore was banged up. They were on their fourth string running back. They were missing their all-pro left tackle. Their starting right tackle had to shift to left tackle, and they had a backup right tackle. And the running game was still wildly effective for the Ravens, and a key reason why they handed Kansas City a September loss, the first one for Patrick Mahomes. It was frustrating last night to watch how little pressure the Chiefs got up front, how big the holes were for Baltimore. It seemed at times that there was, no, not even seemed at times. It seemed like every other play there was a missed tackle. Brutal missed tackles in the secondary, from the linebacking core, up front, everywhere. Now, don't take anything away from Lamar Jackson. He is an elusive quarterback. He knows how to make guys miss. It wasn't just Lamar Jackson, though. It seemed like every skill position player the Chiefs defenders were whiffing on. And unfortunately, in the NFL, that's a recipe for disaster. You extend drives for teams. 2-yard carries turn into 9-yard carries. And boy, the Chiefs put themselves in a tough hole last night with how that defense was performing. So in that fourth quarter, the Chiefs, just like Cleveland the week before, they have a 35-24 lead, a two-score lead. A touchdown puts the game pretty much out of reach. They are in Baltimore territory. The drive starts to spiral a little bit out of control, and it comes up with a big third and 12, I believe it was, third and long. And the Chiefs had struggled all night with third and long. That was another reason why Kansas City lost its first game of the season. And we very few times can criticize the playmaking abilities of Patrick Mahomes. We know how special he is. We know that he can make plays other quarterbacks cannot. Sometimes, in all the magic he pulls out of his hat, there's a costly mistake that still comes from being a young quarterback, wanting to do too much on the big stage. And last night, Patrick Mahomes might have had the worst interception of his career. And in all honesty, it was the turning point in this game. When he was flushed out of the pocket, he saw Travis Kelce, and I think at the moment when he was tripped up, he still was in the mind of throwing. It wasn't like he got tripped up and then thought, well, now I got to throw it to avoid the sack. I think in his mind, he was about to throw to Travis Kelce, and then all in one motion, he got clipped up from behind and then floated the ball in the air. That was one of the easiest interceptions you'll get. That then gave life to Baltimore and a shorter field, and we know how Kansas City's defense had been playing to go down and score. They went down and scored. Then the offense comes back out. Still, you had been successful against Baltimore all night. Moving the ball was not an issue. And then the Chiefs are forced to punt. And then that's when you truly start to get nervous if you're watching at home. That's when you know the defense has not looked good. They have not been able to stop anybody. And it started to feel like 2018. Can you trust the defense to get out the field? Baltimore ate a lot of clock, picked up a few key first downs, and they score again. They go up 36-35. Still, plenty of time left. All you need is a field goal to win the game, and the Ravens had used two timeouts previously in that third quarter, brutal timeouts, so they couldn't stop the clock. And two plays, Kansas City's in the Ravens' territory. They're moving the ball well. The clock is winding down. You get to the two-minute warning. You still have your timeouts. Baltimore has one last opportunity to stop the clock. And at that point, they're either hoping for a turnover. In fact, that's pretty much all they could hope for at that moment. The only way Baltimore was going to win that game was a turnover. The Chiefs had all the momentum. They already were in field goal range. They were at Baltimore's 34-yard line. Now, it's a long field goal. It's not a gimme by any means. Harrison Butker, though, has hit 50-plus game winners before. The Chiefs were going to try to get closer, of course. They were not going to let Baltimore get the ball again. That, as we all saw, didn't even happen. Baltimore did get the ball back because of a brutal, brutal, costly fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The first fumble of his NFL career. I've gone back and watched that play over and over again because it felt like Edwards-Helaire was swallowed up almost immediately. There was a collapse on the left side of the line that allowed Odafe Owe to get his hand on the ball and poke it out. Where I'm struggling to cope with the fumble, what was the one thing Baltimore was able to stop all night? The running game. Now, you look at the running game and you say, they got one timeout left, all right? We want to milk the clock. We do not want to give the team with arguably the best kicker in football with unlimited range a chance to beat us because a field goal only puts us up two. With the way Patrick Mahomes was throwing the ball and the way everybody was getting open, passing always has to be your number one priority. And when the way I look at it, never take the ball out of your best player's hands. Do not let the game slip away from you in that way. And it was a 2nd and 3. And in all honesty, let's say Clyde doesn't fumble the ball. He's stuffed for a loss of 2. Baltimore burns its last time out. It's 3rd and 5. Minute 20-ish to go. You're going to throw the ball. You're not going to run it again and still give Baltimore 40 seconds with the way your defense is played. It is tough. It's a tough pill to swallow when that That's how you lose the game. When it's so sure, you are almost setting up for the field goal. That at that point in the game, it was no longer a, we have to orchestrate a game-winning drive. You had pretty much already been there. Two more plays, and it was as sure-handed of a field goal you were going to get. I know people will disagree. I can't agree with the fact that you run the ball there. Now, ball security in that moment is the number one priority. Next to milking the clock with the lead, that's what coaches will tell you. No matter what, hold on to the ball. And the Ravens, of course, credit to their defense, they knew they weren't stopping anything. The only thing they could do at that point was try to punch the ball out. And that was the game decider. Or almost it was. For the offense, and what it eventually became, that was the game. But one of the gutsiest play calls I think I've ever seen, and it's also very telling of what the rest of the league thinks about this Chiefs offense. So the Chiefs defense finally forces what would have been a three and out. They would have gotten the ball back with just about a minute to go. Maybe a little bit less. But plenty of time for Patrick Mahomes. On a third and 10, Lamar Jackson hits Sammy Watkins for 9 yards. It's fourth and one. They are still in their own territory. And Harbaugh asks Lamar Jackson if he wants to go for it. He says yes. And they end up converting it. But back when I'm watching that game, it almost felt like they're going to get this. There's no way with the way the run defense has been that there's going to be a fourth down stop here. And it was just a direct snap to Lamar Jackson. He waited a little bit for his blocks and moved the pile. Got 3 or 4 yards, and that was the game. The reality is it shouldn't have been in that position, though. And we can place blame everywhere. The defense, Mahomes' interception, the offense not putting the game away in the third quarter. There was a chance to put over 40 points on the board before the fourth quarter even happened. And to be honest, I was shocked they didn't. After Byron Pringle and Travis Kelce's touchdown, I mean, it felt like there's no way Baltimore's stopping Kansas City's offense tonight. And it took a bad interception, a bad run defense, and next to maybe that Jamal Charles fumble. Remember that Jamal Charles fumble at Arrowhead against Denver on Thursday night? That may be the most costly fumble since then that I can truly remember. Now, let's not overreact in this situation. We're all still hurting from the night before. That was a tough loss to go through. Even as a fan, as a player, everybody involved. Where this team is right now is they've got a divisional opponent coming in next at home. And it's a loss that better to happen now than when it really matters. When we get into January, in all likelihood, there's nobody out there right now that's still doubting Kansas City to win the division. Okay, even Baltimore that won last night, they're still 1-1. The Chiefs are going to be fine. Now, there are issues. That defense cannot show up late in the season. In fact, that defense can't show up again. Not when you have that much talent on that side of the ball. You got your two interceptions. You did turn it over. There was virtually no pressure last night against a banged-up Baltimore offensive line. So a bad loss overall. What we want to take away from this, though, is that it's week two. And that still was a hostile environment on the road on Sunday Night Football against a top five quarterback in this league. Those are still going to happen from time to time. Nobody is going to go undefeated this season. And it's definitely now not going to be Kansas City. But the biggest part about the regular season is just getting and setting yourself up for the postseason. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Chiefs rattle off a number of wins in a row. We know what losses are followed by in this Patrick Mahomes era. There's been few times, I think only once in his career, the Chiefs had lost back-to-back games, if I'm not mistaken. So they'll get the Chargers this Sunday at home. Noon kickoff. And it'll be interesting to see how much changes. Last night, though, felt like a game that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs always win. It never felt like until Lamar Jackson got that first down that the Chiefs were going to lose. When we come back here on The Shift, we are going to talk about that fourth down decision and what this defense can do to fix itself. You've been listening to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. We touched a little bit about it in the opening monologue. With that decision to go for it on fourth and one with the game on the line. There are very few teams in the NFL that would attempt a move like that. Mainly because if you do not convert, you're basically putting the nail in the coffin on the game. You would have given Patrick Mahomes 55 seconds to a minute to go 10 yards to get into field goal range. It's a smart move, and it's one that I think more teams are going to start doing with the game on the line facing the Chiefs. It was a gutsy play call. But it was never one where I was so shocked with that it was going to happen. When I saw Sammy Watkins catch the ball and they were a yard short and all that success they had in the running game, it almost just felt like a no-brainer, actually. With a one-point lead, you know that Kansas City only needs a field goal to win the game. Now, you could pin them back inside their own 10, and they're still going to give themselves a shot. I think if the score is a little bit different, obviously, if Baltimore has a three-point lead, they're punting the ball. Anything under that, though, or in a tie game for that matter, I think it would have been even more so of a no-brainer to go for it if the game was tied. And I think that a lot of teams moving forward are going to use that play-calling decision. We saw it with the Cleveland Browns, that aggressive mentality. And right now, Kansas City's defense is not doing enough to scare teams into going for it. Anything inside of fourth and five, that should be a go-for-it mentality. Because if your defense isn't stopping the Chiefs, no distance on the field is going to help you with that. If you punt the ball and the Chiefs have to go 70 yards, they can score. It's no different than if you give them the ball at the 30-yard line, they go 30 yards and score. I'm surprised more teams in the past 3 years haven't done that. Baltimore has been the main one that stuck out to me that has attempted so many fourth down conversions. And last night it just stuck out more so because it was truly a win or loss decision. And that's where Man, even the play call for that fourth and one play, it wasn't anything special. I would have actually, with the way the game had gone, run the read option with how Lamar would either keep it or hand it off. The Chiefs had zero answer for the read option last night. It was a direct snap to Lamar Jackson, and it was praying his banged-up offensive line was able to get the push. And against all that talent the Chiefs have up front, Baltimore won at the line of scrimmage. There was one moment in that play that I thought the Chiefs had gotten through the line. And it just, they weren't strong enough up front. And it ended up being a great play call. I'm curious of your thoughts, though, Marco, on the fourth down play call. If Baltimore fails, all right, Kansas City goes 10, 15 yards. Harrison Butker kicks a game-winning field goal. Is that met with criticism, or is that a decision you say 100% of the time you go for it because giving Patrick Mahomes the ball with 80 yards to go is not much different than 40 yards to go with a minute left?
Are you asking me if I agreed that the Ravens should have gone for
it? If they failed, would you still have agreed with it?
Yeah, absolutely, because once again, it's back to that formula of how you beat the Chiefs and punt it or go for it. It's a question for a Ravens fan, most definitely. But yeah, I think you're still all right with it because I felt like everybody in the Ravens stadium yesterday was probably wanting them to go for it as well because they knew how dominant they had been with their run game and how they knew they could have told the Chiefs, hey, we're going to run it here on fourth down, and they still could have gotten it with the defense knowing. But if it got stopped, you got to be okay with it because, I don't know, it depends on if you wanted it or not. But I think it's still seen as okay because analytics showed go for it. The momentum of the game, the way the game was going, told you to go for it. Do you remember how much time was left on the clock when they went for it? I think there was still a little bit over a minute left.
It was
because the Chiefs had used their timeout to stop the clock.
They had another timeout as well.
Uh-huh. And so that's still plenty of time for Mahomes to drive down the field and kick a field goal for the Chiefs if they did decide to punt. But it's one of those things where if it didn't convert, then shoot, I guess. It's the gamble that you have to take because I feel like either way, you get the ball back to Mahomes and the Chiefs with 50-something seconds left on the clock. I don't know how the return would have gone in any way, but that's a big what if question that I feel like Ravens fans are happy they don't have to ask today.
Exactly, and we saw a play call similar to that with the Chiefs last year in the divisional round against Cleveland. Andy Reid decided to go for it with Chad Henne, a fourth and one, that if failed, might have ended Kansas City's season. It's just one of those games where, I mean, is it credit to Baltimore? I do want to give credit to Baltimore. That was a banged up team. They go and beat the team to beat in the AFC, and they had to come back to do it. Gosh, if you are a Kansas City fan or you're a player or a coach, do you feel like you beat yourself and Baltimore didn't beat you? I don't think the Ravens played their best game. Lamar Jackson had a pick six. He had two interceptions. The defense played horribly, and they still won the game. The fumble at the end, though, was to milk the clock and set up a game-winning field goal. And that, you can't look at it and say, well, that's Baltimore beating it. That is a mistake on your end that set up Baltimore to win the game. And still, in my eyes, I don't think you beat Kansas City head-to-head. You have to have those plays happen. You have to match their aggressiveness and go for it. Because the biggest weakness right now on this Chiefs team is this defense. And the reassuring thing, if you are concerned about this defense, is that it's only 2 weeks into the season. The Chiefs have always, this Chiefs defense has always started slow in September. Kansas City's had to win a lot of shootouts in September. And we go back to even the Super Bowl season. Marco and I were talking about it at the break, that back-to-back loss. When has that happened under Mahomes? Well, it happened his first year as a starter with Seattle when they lost to Russell Wilson in Seattle and at Arrowhead against the Chargers on that two-point conversion at the end. Then in the Super Bowl season 2019, you remember they lost to Indianapolis on Sunday night and then lost to Houston the following Sunday, both at Arrowhead Stadium. And in the moment, everybody wants to freak out about what has happened. You know, in 2018, it was both atrocious defensive performances. I think Seattle got upwards of 30. Same thing with the Chargers. The defense couldn't stop anybody. And eventually it turns around. Once you get later into the season, you're playing better. You're playing better as a unit. Yes, the defense is a problem right now. I thought with moving Chris Jones to the edge, they would have been able to get more pressure on a consistent basis. You got Frank Clark back last night. You think up front you are pretty strong there. I'm so curious as to how much this defense changes with Willie Gay in the lineup. With how fast he is, how good he is in coverage, a downhill guy. And I'm also baffled. I don't know what is going on with Juan Thornhill. Juan Thornhill had 11 snaps last night. And there has to be something as to why he's not playing. Because that safety group, aside from Tyrann Mathieu, was not very good. Daniel Sorensen did have 10 tackles, 10 total tackles. It seemed like he missed about 10 more. And there were times that he got blown by in coverage. Why isn't Juan Thornhill playing? Is he healthy? I think he's healthy. Can't be anything in terms of mentality. He seems like he fits the scheme well. It's not like he doesn't fit in a certain down scenario. I'm just shocked with how the defense played last night. Juan Thornhill didn't get a look. A long enough look. 11 snaps is not a lot. And I think maybe it just kind of comes down to right now, this defense is at its best when they're able to put a little bit more pressure than they did last night on the quarterback. The secondary is not having to cover as long. The linebackers aren't being asked to cover as long. Quarterbacks are not able to make all their reads. Lamar Jackson, with a banged-up offensive line, had a lot of time to make a decision last night in the pocket. Early on, he was not good at throwing the ball. Then he got a lot better. Confidence started to go up. He's able to run a little bit better. And it set up the Chiefs to lose that game. And where does this team go to fix that defense? That's the main question everybody's asking right now. Where do you look? You don't need to bring in anybody. They've got talent. They spent money on this defense. They have guys with upside on this defense. Is it going to get better overnight? No. Can we even guarantee from today that it's going to be so much better by December? We can't. Steve Spagnuolo has changed this defense from what it was under Bob Sutton. These games, though, it's frustrating to see them still happening when they were still happening in 2018. Now, shootouts is the way of the NFL now. Good quarterbacks are going to put up points. Last night, though, the Chiefs should have been walking away 2-0, even with as bad as the defense played. There was an opportunity for the offense to put it away. Costly turnovers late. But once this defense, that's what we always talk about. We say if the Chiefs get an offensive line, they're unbeatable. Okay, well, they went and altered the offensive line. To me, it's always been, if they can get a top 20 defense, that's pretty much unbeatable. They won the Super Bowl with a top 20 defense. Is this defense down the road a top 20 defense? After last night, you can't confidently say they are. They've got the talent around them to be a top 20 defense. Is it something now where you have to shift around some of your personnel? It is early, but we've seen Chris Jones dominate as a defensive tackle, and now he's a defensive end. Last night against Alejandro Villanueva, Chris Jones was not able to do much. I wonder if he's just better suited to be a defensive tackle. Do you shift him back inside? The problem is you don't have a legitimate edge rusher behind him. You'd be starting Mike Dana, who was a late-round pick last year. This defense has stuff to work out, and it's early. You don't just throw everything away after two games. But this is a league that's based on making corrections when they need to happen. I'm sure the Chiefs all week will be working to fix that running game because the team they face on Sunday is coming off a loss to Dallas. It's a dang good offense with a good running back. And they're likely going to take a few pages out of the script that Baltimore had to come into Arrowhead and hand the Chiefs another loss. Man, it's just, it's so interesting to me with that much talent, and we're using that word a lot right now, talent on this defense. How is it so that they have not been able to produce or get that stop, especially last night? Baltimore was missing a lot of guys, and you had guys back, and it didn't really change from week one. They got more production than even Cleveland did. And that was with two turnovers. Marco, if you are looking at this defense, where is the fix? Where is the problem? How do you avoid losing games like this?
Problem is, I know we harp on Neiman and Sorensen a lot, but there's multiple guys on that defense, in your secondary especially, not other than Matthew, who need to learn how to tackle. Chris Jones, you talk about how ineffective he was on the edge as far as the pass rush. Only one tackle yesterday in the game, and he played 75% of the defensive snaps. So there were times where he was just biting too hard on those options. When your job as the edge is to stay on the outside on those and let the interior worry about the guys going up the middle. And there were times where he would bite for it and Lamar would take that, would keep the football on those options and use it to his advantage. You got to be better at reading the play and understanding what is going on right in front of you and what your job is as a defensive end. That just comes with time also. And maybe a fix to this defense is you do so much offensively, moving things around, switching things, giving other teams' defenses different looks. Well, maybe on defense, you got to start giving offenses different looks. Maybe it's moving Jones around on the line. Maybe you put him on the interior part for some snaps, and then you move him to the outside. Maybe when you play teams who are a dominant running team, like the Ravens and Browns, you put him in the inside a little bit more because you're going to need him to take up two blockers. Like you said, he's got NFL experience at the defensive tackle position, and he's got college experience on the outside. maybe he is someone that can be used in multiple spots throughout a game. But, man, when you put – it's another thing, like you said, they're missing Willie Gay's coverage right now with the linebackers. When you put Nick Bolton, who played really good yesterday and has had a really good 2 weeks as far as a rookie, putting him one-on-one with Marquise Brown, there's no shot there. No chance. Marquise Brown had a game of his life yesterday against the Chiefs because they were putting people like Nick Bolton and Daniel Sorensen on him. It's got to be better when you're going up against the team's number one receiver. It's in-game adjustments, man. It's in-game adjustments, and I felt like there wasn't a lot to be seen from the Chiefs defense yesterday. Frank Clark, he'll get better. He damn for sure looked like somebody that was playing their first game of the regular season yesterday. It's going to get better. The Chiefs defense always needs like 6 or 7 weeks to get into, like, in, well, I guess it's typical saying, they got to get in the midseason form, and it really shows they get in the midseason form in the middle of the season. It'll come. The Ravens are a really good offensive team. They can deceive you with the run game in lots of ways where they can catch you, where they can catch you sleeping. And that's what happened with the Chiefs yesterday. They weren't ready for that rushing attack of the Ravens offense, and it showed with the game plan they put out there and just the way that the defense played, especially on those read options like you mentioned. If they would have ran a read option on that fourth down to win, they could have gone probably for more yards. But, yeah, there was just no stopping there.
It's funny how, with having Patrick Mahomes, how spoiled Kansas City has become with games like this. Because you look back to, let's even say the Alex Smith era. You lose a game like this, 36-35, on the road in Baltimore. That's a good, for most teams in the NFL, that is not a bad loss. Now, there's different standards when you are the team to beat. You have to be able to win those games late, because that's an impressive win on the road against a really good team. And I think if you play that game again, the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs actually win pretty easily. I think you play that game 10 times, the Chiefs walk away winners seven or eight of them, because I don't think the Chiefs, again, that's the thing. I don't think some of these mistakes are going to happen again late. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to have an interception that bad again this season. I think he now knows, and that kind of comes with getting more acclimated to making sometimes the safe play. And we know that what makes Patrick Mahomes great is he takes risks. A lot of quarterbacks in that situation with that interception, they'll just take the sack because they know 2-score lead, we're at midfield, we punt it, they got to go 90 yards to score. And you never want to fault a guy for trying to make something happen. We've seen Patrick Mahomes make plays like that before. It turned out to bite him in the end, but that is a situation now where you look at it and you go, okay, that's not going to happen again. He will throw an interception again this season. Of course he will. Not that bad, and I don't think that in that scenario of a game. Same thing with Clyde. I don't think he's going to fumble the ball. Heck, I don't think he may not fumble the ball again this season. He's a pretty sure-handed running back. That was his first fumble in the NFL. And yes, ball security is important. He didn't get much help from the left side of the line on that play. It is, holding onto the ball is important. That left side collapsed almost immediately off the ball. That's got to sharpen up as we get later into the season. And it's a long season. We are probably going to experience another game like this. Don't know if they'll lose in the exact same fashion. It happens every year, though. Last year, it was the Raiders. Remember how everybody felt after that game against the Raiders at home? Giving up 40 points to the Las Vegas Raiders? It's like doomsday. We know how we all felt after the Super Bowl. Go back to the Super Bowl season. How do we feel about that loss to Indianapolis, where the offense put up 13 points? The loss to Houston, where they could not stop the Texans' running game. Carlos Hyde, at all. Year before that, Seattle, L.A. We all go through this. It's a part of being an NFL fan. at times you overreact. And it is tough because you play once a week. And those losses sting. Especially with that much on the line. With two quarterbacks always fighting for prominency in the league. Lamar Jackson needed that win last night badly. And you saw how much it meant to him. And Harbaugh. And the Ravens. That was a team that they could not get over. And it looked like for a while, the Chiefs were just going to run through that one easily again. Doesn't matter, hostile environment, full crowd. Chiefs are going to win that game. They didn't. That's the reality of it. They'll get a chance to bounce back again this week, which is the beauty of it being early. We may look back 6 weeks from now, and the Chiefs are 7-1, and this loss is just in the rearview mirror. I expect big things from this team, but it's got to start with this defense changing a little bit. When we come back on the shift, we are going to talk about a little bit of a recap of what happened around the AFC West and looking ahead to that Chargers matchup on Sunday. You've listened to The Shift on 94.5 FM and 5010 AM ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back into The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Marco Marquez. The AFC West had a good start to the afternoon yesterday and a bad finish. I guess it all depends on which team you're rooting for. The Broncos and Raiders, who played at the noon slot, came away winners. Again, both teams now 2-0 on the season. Now, the Broncos have had an easier start, an easier schedule. But a win in this league is a win in this league. They have beaten now the Giants and Jacksonville Jaguars, both on the road. The Raiders had another impressive win. They beat the Steelers on the road this time, 26-17. Derek Carr, an excellent game passing the ball. Their defense showed up, and they won on the road in a hostile environment. Now, for the Chargers and the Chiefs, both lost in dramatic fashion. The Chargers, at the very end, again, it feels like it happens to them every single year. They lose on a 50-plus game-winning field goal by Greg Zuerlein to lose to Dallas at home. And the Chiefs, we all know, as we've talked about the whole hour, the way they lost. The AFC West, though, is still, and until further notice, going to be run by Kansas City. Even though the Raiders and the Broncos have started 2-0, none of these teams have played each other yet. This is very early. Every team in this division knows that they'll have to beat Kansas City to win this division. It is a much better division than I predicted at the beginning of the season. And it is in a spot right now that I actually did not envision it being in even this early. Raiders and the Broncos right now tied for first, 2-0. And the Chiefs and the Chargers behind them. Where is the confidence level right now if you are a Chiefs fan looking at this division? I'm sure you're confident you're going to win the division. How easy will it be is the big question. The Raiders look a lot better than they did last year. They are winning games. They could very well be 0-2 right now. But a very polished offense, their defense generating a lot of pressure on the quarterback. That's led to two gutsy and big wins for them. That was a tough start to their season, playing Baltimore at home and then on the road in Pittsburgh. And you tip your cap to them. They are 2-0. Even with Denver, not tough teams they beat. It's on the road. Take wins where you can get them. And even the Chargers, they still look good. And they were the team I had predicted to finish second in this division. It's going to be a lot closer, I think, than people are realizing right now. I think the Chargers and the Raiders right now are capable of winning 10 games, if not more. The good news is, with this Chiefs team, I don't know if I envision them losing more than 5. This seems like a very 13-4 type team. Maybe even better, 14-3. Because you know there's not going to be too many Sundays where the Chiefs, and Patrick Mahomes for that matter, don't have a good chance of walking away a winner. There's going to be no... In fact, I don't know if there will be a game this season where they're going to be an underdog. I guess it all depends on how they play the next couple of weeks. But they should be favored in the majority of their games. And games like last night, they happen maybe once a year for Kansas City. Maybe twice. But this AFC West is a lot stronger than expected. And that first Chiefs-Raiders matchup is one I am definitely eyeing right now. That'll be another tough environment in Vegas. Will be a great environment at Arrowhead. But man, the Raiders, if they're going to win the division, they're going to need to sweep Kansas City. Easier said than done. Before we wrap up here today on the show, we are going to break down and preview a little bit of that matchup on Sunday. Man, you probably all feel this morning like you wanted to be here now. Nobody wants to go through this entire week after a Chiefs loss, but that's not the way it works. That's the deal with the NFL. It is a statement game for me. When I look at this, it is a statement game right now for Kansas City. This is a very talented Charger team. They've got a great young quarterback. You're playing at home, divisional game, and you're coming off a bad loss. I am looking to see how much changes play calling, scheming, where certain guys move around. Though nobody's going to look back at the end of the season and really, they may pinpoint this game against the Chargers. But it's a pretty big, it is a big game in my eyes. I don't know, Marco, if you feel the same way about it. Coming off a loss, it's always a big game, but is this one where it's a statement type of game?
Yeah, absolutely. Because how are the Chiefs going to follow a tough loss on the road, coming back home to Arrowhead? The odds are in your favor. I expect the Chiefs to be the favorites in this one also when it comes to the spread. But, yeah, absolutely. It is, like you said, a statement game. It's a division game. You got to get off to a good start, because if the division's going to be good this year with the Chargers, Raiders, I'm not knocking them off yet. Broncos had the easiest start to the season schedule-wise, but Raiders are playing very well right now. Derek Carr's having a really good September. Yeah, you need it's a statement game because of how you follow up, how this defense is going to look. Another good running team in the Chargers. But, yeah, we'll break it down more throughout the week, but it's not a must-win for the Chiefs, but it almost kind of feels like it. But once again, we're only in week 3. It's a long season. We don't know what the division's going to look at record-wise, where the advantages are going to be, who's going to be at the top, how close game-wise they're going to be. Not for a few more weeks we'll get an idea, but yeah, it's a prove-it game for the defense, because you can't go 3 straight games allowing, 200-something yards on the ground?
Exactly. I mean, you just can't do that, and especially late in the season. But this early stretch of games before the bye week are important, because that last stretch, week 13 and on, you get the Broncos, Raiders, both at home, at the Chargers, Steelers at home, at the Bengals, Broncos. That is an easier stretch, And if you can get those wins early on, those divisional wins early on, then you build your cushion.
Yep.
And it's going to be those head-to-head matchups, those two divisional games that are going to decide the AFC West. I'm still very confident the Chiefs walk away winners in this division. Just maybe a little bit tougher than years past. It's good to see a competitive division. And I have no doubt in my mind the Chiefs are going to have a good chance to bounce back on Sunday. Now it is time for our favorite segment on the show, Fact or Fiction. Five questions, five takes under 5 minutes. Marco, fire away.
All right, Jack, Fact or Fiction. The Chiefs allowed more than 35 points again this season.
There will be more shootouts, and there's going to be better offense, I think, than Baltimore. There will be another game this season where the Chiefs' defense allows more than 35 points. Hopefully, for the offense, they have just a little bit more than they do, unlike last night. So I'm going to go fact. This defense will allow more than 35 points again this season.
Fact or fiction, Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbles again this season.
You know, we did talk about this a little bit. I'm going to go fiction. I really think this is going to be fiction. I think guys like that that fumble the ball when they're not notorious for fumbling the ball rarely do it again. And the Chiefs are not a team that gives it away too often. So I'm going to say fiction. I think Clyde holds on to the ball again and will not have a fumble this season.
Fact or fiction, Chris Jones moves back to defensive tackle.
It's still too early to abandon any of your scheme, and I think Chris Jones could still thrive as a defensive end in this league. He just was also very effective as a defensive tackle. I still think he'll move back from time to time to D-tackle. He won't be a full-time defensive end, but I don't think, I guess with how the question's phrased, fact he will move back at some point, not permanently.
Fact or fiction, the Chiefs' defense finishes in the bottom five of the league. Ooh, overreaction Monday.
Like exactly, that. Yes. I'm still going to go fiction on that. I think that this defense will improve. Bottom five is, they're not going to be a 2018 defense. Talent was our word today. They've got too much talent to finish in the bottom five of the league. They're going to improve. That run defense will improve. Willie Gay coming back will help a lot with both the passing defense and defending the run. So, fiction there, the Chiefs defense is not going to be bottom five bad.
And finally, fact or fiction, Mahomes doesn't throw an interception for five games. Is this straight games or five games in this season?
Five straight games.
Okay.
I think, man, that I'm going to go fiction on that because there's still going to be some shootouts and he's going to need to throw the ball a lot and that's just going to happen. He will, like we said, not make a bad decision like he did last night with interception. There's going to be an interception, though. You just hope it's not as detrimental as it was last night. With that, that'll wrap up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. We'll be back same time tomorrow at 10 a.m. You take it easy, Kansas City.